We're in the writings of the Apostle John in 1 John, and we hope you'll join with us and make comments, participate as you will. As you know, and I think you know, that it's much better than listening to me the whole time. So please join with us as we study. We're in the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin down in verse 12 this morning. I trust everyone has a Bible today. We had just begun to look at these verses last Lord's Day, so let's go back and read these one more time. As we study the book of 1 John, we can be assured of three or four things that John's going to talk about. He's going to talk about love. He's going to talk about righteousness. He's going to talk about knowing. He's going to talk about eternal life, among other things. But those things almost always included in what John writes about, and he comes back to those themes, among others, of course, but to those themes over and over as he writes this letter. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So this is a continuation of some of John's stronger teachings concerning love, and he's been talking about this for a while now, and he continues to come back to this, the importance of love for one another and love of God. And he starts off by saying, no man has seen God at any time, and I'm not sure why he starts that way, but I do know that we don't need to see God to know what God is and what God has done and what God will continue to do. It's not a matter of us needing a personal viewing of God in order to know, because God has demonstrated in many ways down through the ages who God is and his personality, his essence, which John says God is love. That is God's essence. We can know and understand his ways because he has given us his word that we can have, and that we can look at. We can see the results of God's love for us. And John keeps talking about looking at the love of God has for us, and then in that way we are to also to have love for one another. And John says it's an indication, it's a way that you can know if you are abiding in God, is if you are loving one another. We know that we can abide in him, and that we do, and that he abides in us. And we can know that because he has given us of his Spirit, John says. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 that after we have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom after we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until our final redemption. The first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love. God's love, John said, is perfected or made complete in us. And that's a little bit a different thought, I think. We don't think that God's love needs to be perfected. It's already perfect. But John says it's made complete when we accept the gospel. Paul writes in Romans the 5th chapter and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we receive God's salvation, when we accept the gospel, when we accept God's love that He has shown by the giving of His Son, God's love then is made complete or perfected in us. God's love is perfect and complete, but when we take it into ourselves, when we receive God's love, and then we show it to others, as John talks about over and over, we receive God's love, but then we need to show it to one another. God's love then is completed or perfected in us when we do that. In verse 14, as John has done before, he gives his testimony again of seeing the Son of God, which God sent as Savior of the world. And as John has said earlier in the chapter, confession and acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God was a sign of whether that person was of God or is not of God. It's pretty clear, pretty plain. If you are accepting of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then that is an indication that you are of God or you are not of God if you don't. And John says here that it is a sign of not only being of God, but abiding in Him, and we then in turn abide in God. For us that have believed, it is the promise of eternal salvation by the gospel. John just can't quite leave the subject of love once he gets on it. He keeps going back to it. And it is the important thing that John says. Abiding in love means we are abiding in God. So that's the reason it's so important. And then abiding in God means we are abiding in love. And as John says again, God is love. Your thoughts on these verses. Let's see, who has the mic? Tom has the mic, okay.
That opening statement in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any point. And you made an interesting comment, but this is really our faith. I can't quote it, but in Hebrews it said we must believe that God is. That's the first step, and I think it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this is our first step of faith. And then there are evidences, there are points that you brought out that confirm this and signify that God is and He dwells in His Spirit, His love, that is not natural to us, but we've learned love from watching God. And then we know by faith that we have been saved, we have been forgiven. And I just think that's an interesting way to start that. And that is the beginning, that God is, but we have not seen Him, but we know because His love, His Spirit, His Son, the forgiveness, we know because of all that.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. I appreciate the comments. Anyone else? They're full of thoughts. We've just scratched the surface on these, but it's thoughts that John has mentioned before, and he continues to talk about these, and he's going to talk about the subject of faith too, which is introduced here and Ed mentions too. And he's going to talk about that some as we go on down in these verses. Let's look at 17 through 19. 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. John has already raised the the comment that God's love is perfected in us, and he still talks about that here, that it is perfected in us when we love God and when we keep his commandments. Which John says, then, if we do that, if we love God and keep his commandments, that it will allow us boldness in the day of judgment. And even though we are in the world, as we have heard many times, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we do not participate in the things of the world. We take upon ourselves rather as a child of God, as a son of God, we take upon ourselves the nature of God and try to emulate in our lives as best we can the nature and the things of God, which John says God is love. So that's the starting point for us, that God is love. And we take upon ourselves this nature and also the nature of Christ and his teaching, his example. We do this by loving him, and we do this by loving one another. And when we show those things, when we exhibit that love to God and to one another as we should, John says there is no fear or dread of God's judgment. We can stand before him in full assurance of God's love that is perfected in us. If we do those things, if we love one another, we love God, we try to emulate God's nature and Christ's nature in our lives as best we can and keep his commandments, then we have no fear of standing before God in judgment, and God's love is perfected in us. Paul in Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And to summarize later in the chapter, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God is love. He shed abroad his love for us. And as we saw in Romans chapter 5, God's love was shown to us while we were yet sinners. And in view of such great love, we cannot help but love him back. If we take that love that God has shown to us and fully realize it in our lives, then we need to love God back. We cannot help but do that. Your comments on these verses, 17 through 19.
I think that one of the points that he's making here is that in the day of judgment, we should have no fear because of the love he has for us and the love we have for him. So, no fear in the day of judgment. We practice these things.
Thank you. Very good. That goes along with one of the, when we talked about when we began this study, that one of the main themes and a key verse, I think, and other verses too, but that we know that we have eternal life. And that goes right along with this, that if we do these things, then we have assurances, we know, and we have no fear of the day of judgment and standing before him. Ed.
Another interesting phrase, and I think very powerful, let's see if I can, because as he is, so are we in the world. And, you know, he was born of a woman. He came in the flesh. He lived without sin. He died, was buried, rose on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And, you know, in John, in his book, and said that I don't know how we will be, but we will be like him. And, you know, when we talk about being born of the water and the Spirit, and we put on Christ, and if we are buried with him in baptism, and we put to death the old man, the sin, and we rise up in the likeness of his resurrection, a new creature, and we walk with him to faith and obedience, we shall also ascend into heaven when he comes again and be like him. and be partakers of His divine nature. And that's very powerful things. And to me, that's what I think of, that little statement. It's really powerful.
Very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. We know He was without sin. We are not without sin, but it is our goal, it is our work, it is our setting apart and sanctification from the world to try to be as much like that as we can. We know we're not perfect. We won't be able to do that, but that is certainly our goal in this world. Live as close to as He lived as we can. Okay, let's look at the last two verses of this chapter then. Verses 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. John here makes a very strong statement about loving one another. How can we say that we love God and yet hate our brother? How can you say that? How is that possible? We may say we do, but in reality, John says it is not possible. How can we say that we love God whom we have not seen, and we love Him on the basis of His love demonstrated to us and faith in that belief in the love of God and the things that He has done for us? So we love God on the basis of our faith and what we have seen and what God has demonstrated to us. But then we cannot love our brother whom we have seen, who we have among us each and every day, whom we have fellowship with, we know. And John says, that's not logical. That's not logical. And we make God out to be a liar when we say that. This is a commandment from God that we love God. We must also love our brother also. It's the way God wants it, the way that God has commanded us to do, that we love God and then we love our brother as well. And if we merely say that, but we do not practice that, then it is not possible for us to do that. We make God out to be a liar. The importance of loving one another, I don't think, can be overstated in any way. And John speaks about this quite a bit in this letter, the importance of loving one another. And it is something that we need to take to heart, I think, in showing our love for our brethren and our love for God. This is God's commandment, that we love Him and that we love one another. Your comments on these two verses, Paul. Paul has a comment.
It seems to me, as you said, John keeps coming back to this. As we talked about last week and before, he was pointing out some problems, I think, that they had. I think as adamant as he is here about loving one another, that perhaps they had a problem with that. Perhaps they weren't showing love. And then, you know, we have to think about, well, how do we show love to our brothers and sisters? And if we wonder about that, we probably should think on it about how do we go about doing that? Because he's pointing out this is really important. It's just really, because it affects your relationship with God.
Very good. Thank you. I think one of the comments that I've made previously, and I'm not sure who made it, maybe Ed a week or two ago, that one of the ways that we show love for our brother and for others is in letting them know about the Word and His commandments and the things that they need to be doing. And that sometimes is tough love, but it is love that we can show to one another and to our fellow man, to love in that way. And sometimes people don't think that's love, but it is love when you think about, because what it is an interest in their eternal destiny. And so that's I think one of the main ways that we can show love is our concern for our fellow man and our fellow Christian, and that we can come to as good an understanding of His Word as we can, and then to follow it. Ed?
I think the phrase, "He who loveth God, love his brother also," and I think definitely the brother is not an acquaintance of the flesh or acquaintance of nationality or work or whatever status. It's in the Lord, who have been immersed and walk according to Him. And I have noticed over the years that those brethren whose best friends and constant companions are not believers have a hard time and seem to be so easily drift away. But those who do attendance at the services and other activities, the bond with our brethren in the Lord, they seem to be stronger and have a better chance of survival and enduring faithful unto the end than those who do not. And I think this is a simple thing here. If you really do love God and have fellowship with Him, you will have fellowship and love with His children. Yeah. And I think that is it. You will be eager to drink of His Word and to eat it and take it into your heart and mind and soul, and with every opportunity be with those who are like-minded. Even if you don't think you'll learn, one of the things I've heard, well, I don't learn anything. Well, you're there, teach, you know, edify, you know, take people aside, whatever. But bond with them and love just being here. You know, notice that Sister Jane is with us. What a remarkable thing. And I see her nodding her head in agreement with the things that are in Scripture. And if after 90 years, that's just powerful to me. Yeah. And I think that's what he's saying here.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And that's kind of the way he starts chapter 5. We're going to look at that too, but it's some of the same things that you've just said, Ed, I think. Concerning that, and very good. I appreciate your comments. Anyone else on these? Okay, we'll look at chapter 5. And I got to tell you, when I kind of went over chapter 5, I for just a moment, I thought, you know, I'm going to skip down to verses 14 since Rick's with us, and so we have a chance maybe of getting those verses right. But then I didn't. I decided I'd just go ahead and take them in the order that they come. But I have some notes in my Bible from previous studies with Brother Rick. So when we get to those verses, we can hope we can get those okay. Let's look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son, is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Let me read that again. I'm not sure I got it the right way. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In this chapter and in these verses, John is going to speak about things that he has spoken about previously in this letter. He's going to talk about it in a little bit different ways and with some different emphasis, maybe, than what he has, the ways that he has said it before. But he starts off that all who believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And this is something that John has spoken about before, and it is something that it is a great comfort. It is a great encouragement, I think, to each and every one of us, that even though we are born in the flesh, that we are in the world, but that we can be born of God and that we can become his children. And in a different way, he says, everyone that professes a love for God will demonstrate that love that we have for God by loving each other. If we love the Father who has begotten us, we are his child now. I think, going along with what Brother Ed said, then we should love the children that are also begotten of him. The children of God that are all begotten of him make up the family of God. And we need to love each and every one in that family. And we can know that we are his children when we love God and when we keep his commandments. One of the commandments, as John has said, he who loves God must love his brother also. All who believe are begotten of God. And he's going to add that the additional requirement is to keep his commandments. And this is not always linked in the teaching in the world today. Love is emphasized a great deal, I think, in the teaching in the world today. Keeping his commandments, not so much. And John says they are together. They are linked. We should love God and we should keep his commandments. John also says that we keep his commandments, that we believe. This is the first thing that leads us into obedience, is believing, having faith. But John says if we believe and we do not obey, it does not show that we love God. The way that we show our love to God is believing and obeying. And that shows our love to God. For this is the love of God, John says, that we keep his commandments, to know them, to observe them, to heed them, to take them into our thinking, to take them into our way of life. And John says his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, as you know, very famous passage, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The world labors under a burden of sin. It is a burden that the world is under. The yoke of sin in darkness, burdened down by the works of the flesh. And they don't realize that. They don't know the condition they're in, many of them. Burdened down by materialism, alcohol, drugs. Many in despair, without hope, no hope in their situation. And not even realizing many the situation that they're in and wanting to make a change. But the burden of God's commands, John says, are not burdensome. They are light. They don't weigh us down. There are things that we need to do, and some of them not according to our nature. And they are difficult. But they don't burden us down. They will lift us up if we let them. And they will give us hope. They do give us hope. They will make our lives better. And many in the world do not agree with that either. They see a person that is trying to live his life according to the scriptures as, you know, your life doesn't amount to anything. And it also makes it possible for us to love one another. Whoever is born of God becomes his child, he said, then overcomes the world. Not that we will not be tempted, as you know. We will be tempted. We will be tried. But we're not under the control of the world. The world does not have a hold on us as it did before. We will be tempted. As the song says, faith is the victory. And John says the same thing. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Some passages, you're very familiar with these. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Be thou faithful unto death. It is by faith that we have the victory over the world and its lusts and pride and its temptations. Faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and willing to yield our lives then to Him and in His service, we are no longer under the dominance of sin and the world. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God will want to follow His teachings. You will be compelled along that route of living to follow His teachings, to obey the teachings of His apostles and the Word of God. And John says, in so doing, you will be able to overcome the world. Reading about the seven churches of Asia, in each and every one, he concludes his admonition to them. And he who overcomes will be blessed, and he has various ways that they're going to be blessed. But it is always a good blessing that they're going to receive, the ones that are able to overcome. And I think we also can take that. If we remain faithful and we overcome, then we're going to be blessed. And as he already said, we will have no fear in standing before him in judgment. Okay, your comments on those verses. They are strong verses. I think so. But there's just a lot in those verses. They're packed.
I was just going to mention that he's taken for granted that they have already received the milk of the word and know it, and now he's moving on to meat. It's kind of like where the wheel meets the road. I guess it's now you're going to have to do these things because they apparently already know the milk of the word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. I think that would be the case. We don't know exactly who this was written to, I don't think, but this was later on in John's life, so these were probably established churches at this time. And as we've said before, one of the main reasons for John writing was because of the false teaching of primarily the Gnostics at this time. And He writes a lot about that, I think, and being able to refute that fallacy of teaching that was so very strong at this time. Appreciate your comments. Anyone else? All right, we will take up next Lord's Day, Lord willing, at verse 6 of chapter 5. Appreciate each and every one's comments today. Thank you.